Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you have reached American Health Crisis Blog Talk. Blog Talk Radio. This is your host. Paulette Young, and we're going to be joined by Selena Lindsay. And our hot topic tonight is HIV/AIDS. How far have we come? We're on every Monday, 8 p.m. Pacific time with another hot topic. I want to remind everyone in Los Angeles, we have the largest HIV/AIDS walk coming up this Saturday. I mean, not Saturday, Sunday, October the 21st at 8 a.m. Come on out in the downtown part of Los Angeles. You can go up on the website, type in HIV/AIDS walk, October 21st, for more information. We've talked on this topic countless times. It is my passion, have been for approximately over 30 years. I've, together with others, we've accomplished a lot of grounds and given out information on HIV/AIDS and keeping up with the current practices, whether we agree with them or not. We do give the information out to the public. Hi, Selena, how are you?
Great, and how are you?
I think my throat is dry. I should have drank more water. Anyway, when HIV/AIDS first started between 1978 and 1981, no one knew what was causing the death of so many gay guys. They would see their doctors 1 week and diagnosed with pneumonia, receive treatment, and die the following week. They were dropping like flies back in the day. That's what they used to say. One medical director said, "I don't know what we are fighting." From California to Chicago to New York and other states, doctors were comparing notes and stating, "We are fighting a disease we are not familiar with." HIV literally destroyed a person's immune system, leaving one open to various diseases. It's no longer considered a gay disease. HIV is a disease that can strike anyone. How far have we come with HIV/AIDS since 1981? For the listening off, just join us tonight. If you want to be able to have a voice and speak, all you have to do is dial in 858-769-4936 and press 1, and you'll be on the air around the globe, reaching all countries and every state in the United States, and as far as even Canada, Europe, but different parts of Africa and Asia, Singapore. So feel free to come on at any time, and we'll give you, as one would say, the floor, and you can talk. Okay, go ahead, Selena, introduce yourself.
Good evening. My name is Selena Lindsay. I am a former CPA for over 30 years, and I am doing those 30 years currently to a entrepreneur. I run several different businesses in addition to being a CEO of several different types of nonprofits that do various different things in your community and in many states in America. Some of those, which I think they do things and help people that might be helpful to you, we'll be talking about those at the end of the show.
Yes, he really has a long, long background that helps a lot of people. So that's why every Monday on the air we feature some of the other things that people may be in need of. Okay. Some people may not know terminology. What is HIV? What does the H stand for? It's human. I is immunodeficiency. V is virus. And HIV is not AIDS. So what does AIDS stand for? A is equal acquired, I immune, D deficiency, S syndrome. So, and then AIDS is the advanced stage of HIV. Some people like to use those words interchangeably, but they're not to be used that way. You can be HIV positive and still not have AIDS. AIDS is the later stage of HIV. Basically, HIV or the virus, it attacks the body's immune system, leaving it vulnerable to life-threatening infections and malignancy. The HIV virus may live in the human body for 10 years or more and can be spread to others before any symptoms appear. So if you're waiting for a symptom to appear, it may not. And what is your immune system? A lot of times people don't, it's located somewhere in my body. No, there's a specific immune system that you have in your body. It consists of lymph vessels and lymph nodes. You have what they call a lymphatic system. And in that, you have small vessels throughout your body. They look like blood vessels. Vessels allow for the return of blood from body tissues to bloodstream, also one of a body's defenses against infection. So you have them. If you have some lymph nodes, that's all part of your immune system. And that's what HIV loves. It loves those lymph nodes. It's like sugar, like a person loving sugar. Anyway, the lymph nodes, you have what you call a lymphatic system, and in it you have these vessels. And attached to those vessels is your lymph nodes. And then inside you have what we call a lymphocyte. These all are important. You also have what they call lymphoid tissue. It looks like tissue of lymph nodes. Why is that all important? Okay, if I blow up a picture of, say, your lymph node, inside you will have a lymphocyte. And what's inside that is something called CD4 protein. Like you like sugar, HIV loves that CD4 protein. It attacks to it and it starts multiplying and growing and growing and growing with more virus being multiplied over and over again. But we have come a long way. In the beginning, everybody was afraid of someone with HIV. If you had HIV, it's like you had a leper disease or something. That was because of no one understood anything. They thought if I shake their hands, I'm going to get it. No. But if you passionate kiss, you may. If you decide to have sex with them, you may. Those are some of the ways it is transferred. In the old days, if you remember Arthur Ashe, the famous tennis player, he had a blood transfusion, but inside the blood was the HIV. That's when we didn't know anything about it. Other than that, he would have never had that blood transfusion. And I know shortly after that, they didn't do as many blood transfusions because the blood bank essentially in some areas was contaminated, and they had to figure out, you know, how to stop that from occurring, which today they have. So it's supposed to be pretty safe, assuming that it is. Anyway, during HIV's deceptive period, the time after a person is first infected with HIV, but before the appearance of devastating elements of AIDS, difficult to detect either the virus itself or the infected immune cells in the blood. The average period from first infection to the appearance of full-blown AIDS is 10 years, depending on the person's age, and a few people have survived for as many as 26 years after infection. Now it's been over 30 years for some. So some of them are living longer because they have access to medication and they're doing the right thing with the medicine. Then you have those that ain't living as long because either lack of medicine, don't understand you got to take this medicine, don't understand that it's very important for early detection. Then you have, no one talks about this anymore, it's called cell-mediated immunity. They're able to fend off the HIV before it has a chance to infect the cell. That was way, way back in the days it was meant to. I picked that up from an article, surprisingly, in Better Homes and Gardens. It's like a 3 or 4 page article. I read it cover to cover because I needed to, you know, keep up with everything that was current. So if you have HIV, it doesn't mean you have AIDS. People just keep confusing those two words, and I always correct it. One is different than the other. One, your immune system is still there. The immune system is gone. Chicken pox can come in and take over. Flu can come in and take over. Simple things that are simple to the average person is not simple to someone that has no immune system. All right, you want to jump in on some of that history, or Selena?
Well, I'm going to leave the history around. It looks like you did a good job. Some of the things I think when we talk about have we come a long ways, I think we've come a very long ways from the old days of way back when I was in nursing school. We used to take the ultraviolet light in the bathroom. And at that particular point, they were trying to prove that you might be able to get the HIV or AIDS from the toilet seat. And that there were virus and things that were present. And so we have come a long ways in terms of what we have learned. And also finally being able to have them be definitive as to how it occurs, because of course, you know, a lot of people out here, including me, I like to blame them. As soon as they said it was a monkey in Africa, I said, aha.
The chimpanzee had it.
I'm blaming on something. But then that didn't work out too good. And, of course, when you do the blame thing, the game, everything starts happening. You know, everything, the blame for it.
Then if you go to Europe, parts of there, they'll say, isn't it true that the United States made this germ in a lab? Now, I've heard that one, too.
Well, they're still doing it when it comes to, it's just what we have said over and over again, misinformation and ignorant information. It is true that we have higher rates among homosexuals, but at this date and time, we have pressing things in the first place with people having, period, unprotected sex.
Right.
Which some of the information means, of course, there's a carrier, there's somebody. But the point is, if you're having unprotected sex, then you're vulnerable to a whole lot of things. And of course, in this instance, since also this is college passion, is very often she goes to high schools, and you would be surprised at how many young people and how young they are. And they're having unprotected sex. And this is what increases the numbers with people that come down with this fatal disease, because if you're spreading things around, you don't know what you're spreading. Mm-hmm. And for sure, this escalation is happening because the ages become younger and younger, the ignorance becomes bigger and bigger, and that's basically what's going on, and misinformation, and people not understanding that when you exchange fluids, then a lot of funny things can happen. And it's not just that you look at people that are different. Again, those numbers are higher, it's also become a pure fact that the numbers are higher where they're younger. And they're also higher, believe it or not, just because you're 55, it ain't got nothing to do with missing you.
Right.
You know, there's a lot more going on in the nursing home than you would like to think. A lot more going on.
That's why they said 1 out of 4 people living with HIV is 50 years old and above.
Amen.
Now, Centers for Disease Control stated 1 out of 5 people that never had the test is positive. If that's true, boy, that is really high. And then we're at pandemic and ain't nobody talking. In the United States, 50% of all new cases of HIV are below 25 years of age. Globally, 40% of all new HIV cases are the youth. That's high. And no one's talking. People act like the disease has gone away. It's just having itself a ball out there. And the average youth don't know that. It's possible if you kiss a HIV positive person, it's possible that you can come down with the disease.
And that, again, is the importance of knowing what you're doing and how you're doing it, no differently, prospectively. When you go into the bathroom and you don't wash your hands, and you take those nasty hands and put them on somebody else, then they can also, you know, one of the diseases that we very often see with nurses, it is simply a disease that happens because people aren't washing their hands, and it's carried from person to person. I've seen a whole hospital wiped out, you know, with people that have gotten this little thing from simply not washing their hands.
Wait, what and, are you talking?
Well, this is not about AIDS. This is not AIDS. This is a little virus that they get, you know, that happens from actually.
That's why hand washing is really pushed today more than ever before because of the different germs that are out there. Now,
but it's just my example that how something can spread.
Right. Center of Disease Control recommends that all adolescents and adults get tested at least once for HIV as a routine part of medical care, and that gay and bisexual men and others at high risk be tested more frequently. Center of Disease Control is working to increase testing among people at higher risk in a wide range of settings outside of the medical system. Now, if Center of Disease Control, people don't realize that there's an antibody test and there's an RNA test. Antibody, what does this test for? Is antibodies. Does not look for the actual HIV virus. So what happens is if you test positive for the antibody test, then they give you the real deal called the ribonucleic acid test. It detects presence of virus in the blood. And an RNA test can detect very early infection within 10 to 15 days of exposure before antibody tests are able to detect HIV. So we're backwards right now, except Red Cross isn't. Red Cross do both tests at the same time, antibody tests and the ribonucleic acid test or the RNA test. So does the U.S. Armed Forces, and so does if a mother is pregnant. They give her the real deal, too. She gets both tests. So that because the earlier you detect it, you can get treatment. And they can treat an unborn baby in the womb. That baby will be born with no HIV. They give them what they call an antiretrovirus, and it's been quite effective. And they've saved a lot of babies out there do not have HIV, even though mommy might have had it or daddy might have had it. They don't have it because they were able to detect it while the baby's still in the womb and begin treatment. There's benefits of knowing your HIV status. Because when you if the testing has never been quicker or easier when it was the way it is today, there's big improvement. You can be treated. The sooner you're treated, you have a chance of living a long life. That's why some have lived more than 30 years because they had early detection rather than not having any detection and then find out later, and later may be too late. There's no treatment. It's just no different than a diabetic having an infection that goes untreated. By the time, if it's untreated, they may lose their limbs. Same thing with HIV. If it goes untreated, your likelihood of you losing your life sooner is great. So it's very important to get both tests, not just the one. Get both the antibody test and the ribonucleic acid test. I want to read a study that they did back in 2011, percentage of HIV-infected individuals engaged in selected stages of continuum of HIV care. This was back in 2011. Out of more than 1.2 million Americans with HIV, 86% knew they were infected. 40%, which would have been 478,000, are seeing the HIV doctor. 37%, which would be 442,000, are receiving treatment. 30%, that's 362,000, have a very low amount of virus in their bodies. That means their viral load is low. And so that was back in 2011 when that report was done. Has the disease gone away? Absolutely not. It's still here. People are still dying. People are still coming down with it and passing it to others, which is unfortunate. Blacks account for almost half of most of the more than 1 million people estimated to be living with HIV in the United States. 44% of the new HIV infections each year. That's for blacks or African Americans. African American youth are particularly affected. Of the nearly 21,000 infections estimated to occur each year among African Americans, one third, 34%, are among young people aged 13 to 24. That's high. Those numbers may be higher. Young African men, particularly young black men who have sex with men, as well as African American women, are severely impacted. And this is coming from information coming from Center of Disease Control, which we all look to. Among those aged 13 to 24, black males have higher rates of infection than any other race. The rate of new infections among young black males aged 13 to 24 is 11 times as high as that of young white males and 4 times as high as that of young Hispanic males. Now, your young black men with sleep with men are especially hard hit, comparing the majority, 86% of new infections among young black males, accounting for more new infections, like 4,800. That was back in 2010, than any other subgroup that men are sleeping with men. In a study of 20 major U.S. cities in 2008, 21% of the black men sleeping with men between age 18 and 30 were HIV infected, and more than 70% of those infected were unaware, pretty high. Young black females are far more affected by HIV than young females of other races. The rate of new infection among young black females aged 13 to 24 is 6 times as high as that of young Hispanic females and 20 times that of young white females. The majority of black females with HIV are infected through heterosexual contact. So the numbers are very, very high. But HIV treatment helps people with HIV live healthy lives and prevent transmission of the virus through partners. Some of you may know and may not know they have that new medicine called Trivadol. Still, in the medical profession, they're not in one accord with the whole thought process, but it's there to help you from getting HIV. It's the person that does not have HIV that's required to take the medicine, but they still advocate still use a condom. You can't miss taking the pills, because if you miss, it's like birth control pills. If you miss taking it, what happens? You get pregnant. So this time, you ain't getting pregnant. You're going to get a sexually transmitted disease. So the cost is a little bit higher if you don't do the right thing. Now, Center of Disease Control was the first to speak up that it shouldn't be given to everyone, because if a person shows risky behavior already, they're advocating there's no need to treat them. Because are they going to do the right thing? Like, take those pills 365 days out of the year. So, I don't know. A lot of this stuff is new. First time we ever had a sexually transmitted disease where we got the person that's clean is taking medicine so he can stay clean. And hopefully that person would take it every day so they can stay, when I say clean, avoid coming down with the disease, HIV. So what can you do? If I still advocate, if you're going to engage in sexual activity, both people need to be tested. See where you're at, where your starting point is. Maybe neither one of you have the virus, but you need to know. You're getting married. You can't just say, I love you. Do you love the germs too? You have to, both of you need to be tested. And then if you decide still to be involved, then at least you know up front whether you have it or your partner have it, and you chose to be involved. You have to make right choices, especially the young people. Now, I've been pushing for both tests to be done for over, I've been at this for years and years and years. And finally, here in California and Hawaii, the NAACP, the National Association of Colored People, passed an HIV resolution, and in that resolution it stated that both tests need to be done. That's what it's not new information. Center of Disease Control made this information available in 2007. It just ain't been done except for people like Red Cross, Armed Forces, and if a mother's pregnant. Why not everybody else? I don't care what the cost. Cost of getting a disease or cost of saving a life and not getting a disease so you can make healthy choices for yourself. So those are some of the information that's out there. So you be the judge what you're going to do. Okay, Selena, go ahead, take off. Go ahead and talk some more on it.
We reiterate that, this kissing strangers got to stop. You can get something, and unfortunately they don't have a lip prophylactic. It's just got to stop because it's not appropriate anymore. It's not safe anymore. If you don't want to get more than what is that little skunk that's always running around kissing that little girl, whatever, Pepe Le Pew. you got to leave it alone because it's not anything pretty that you're about to possibly take home with you. And people need to stop just letting it go in one ear and the other ear. Please go to your dictionary. Use Google for something that will save your life. And take a look at what we're talking about. This is not a joke. And especially if you are of African descent, African American, it is not a joke at all. The graveyard is full. The morgue is full. This is not a mystery. This is something you can do something about. And the first thing you can do is just don't do it. Don't have unprotected sex and don't put your lips on anybody. You need to know what you're doing. And if you don't know, then you're at risk. It's just right. That simple.
Yeah. We're losing our youth, and no one's talking. There need to be education. Those educators out there need to be informed.
Well, they tend to withdraw because they think we're only talking about something beneath the waistband, and that's not what we're talking about. You know, because any time you start talking about the rabbit in the cabbage patch, then everybody kind of turns their back then and looks up at the sky. And this is a terrible attitude, that you're a non-participant. And it's a terrible thing if you think it's not asked any family member that has been through this with a loved one. And to be ostracized from society in this mannerism simply because of ignorance. It is absolutely ridiculous, and it's about time that those of us that can simply read and write, and those of us that are within the sound of my voice, that we pay attention and educate ourselves. And again, the first thing to do is to make sure that you're not a participant, because unfortunately, especially in ethnic backgrounds, all too often the drug dealer is the one taking the drug. And so we need to do better than we've been doing, and we need to have a loud voice in trying to keep with a little acronym, what they call an African proverb, that it takes more than a village to raise a child. If we're going to have a village at all, we better start to do something, because the village is on the way to be wiped out. And we can do something. You know, they would have basically, just like all other viruses, measles and other things, it's basically been annihilated. But we have to, as participants, go and get the vaccinations and go and participate in making sure that the little monster stays in the corner, because this is a horrible monster. And don't let this monster get one of your loved ones.
Yeah.
And the important thing is, it's real simple. It's two words. Do something.
Get tested. Know your HIV status, whether you're negative or positive. You need to know your status. And do the, you know, get both tests or donate your blood. They got to do the right thing anyway. If you donate your blood, Red Cross is going to run both tests. And if you are HIV positive, they will get back to you and let you know they can't use your blood and why.
Yeah, so this is inexcusable. Inexcusable. As Paulette said, go do the right thing and you can know your answer. And, you know, help somebody along the way. And for those that have religious reasons, well, I would just hope that those same reasons keep you from doing certain things and acting at any time in an inappropriate manner. At all times, you go with my prayers. But we have to pray and do the right thing. Doing nothing doesn't count.
Right. You got to stay proactive.
Absolutely.
Anyway, this anyone that's still listening, you can still call in on the number if you wish, or you can just listen. 858-769-4936 and press 1. If you press that 1, you'll be on the air if you speak all around the world. Because we have people listening just about from every state in the United States, and then those that have access to, you know, a phone system to reach Blog Talk Radio, they can hear also. This is Paulette Young, your host, American Health Crisis, and you also have Selena Lindsay on the line, and we've been talking about HIV AIDS. How far have we come? We've come a long way, because at least now they test that blood before they give it to you. Now I call it what, a Mai Tai medication, meaning they use various medicine, not just one, to treat the HIV person that's positive. And they've had some good results with that, where people are living longer, which is a total blessing. They don't have to die just because they become HIV positive. Physicians are able to give them medicine that may work or it may not, but a lot of cases it has worked. And they've given them like maybe 3 or 4 different types of pills to take all at once. And that seems to be working for right now. So, again, this is American Health Crisis. This is through Blog Talk Radio, Paulette Young, your host. And Selena Lindsay, our guest, who comes with lots and lots of information of other organizations she's been able to help. Again, I want to remind you this Sunday, the big Los Angeles AIDS walk will take place, rain or shine. We're looking forward to be out there. You want to come out and cheer us on, or you want to come out there and do the 5K walk. Bring your family, friends, kids, and you're going to have a ball for marching and or walking for a great cause. It's one of the largest fundraisers for the community of people that's fighting HIV or they're fighting AIDS. And they're living longer, provided they're doing the right thing. So just come on out to downtown Los Angeles, go up on the web, it'll tell you where their starting point is. Just type in Los Angeles AIDS Walk, and it'll give you all the information you need to know. Okay, it's this time of the program that Selena Lindsay shares with us some of the other organizations that are out there to help you. So grab a piece of paper and a pen and jot down this very, very important information. Okay, Selena, go ahead.
Okay, here we go. One of the first on my list is Veteran Care Solutions. All of us know how important it is to see to it that those that have served our country and provided for us to have the freedoms that we have are attended to, and that they're no longer left on the street with their infirmities and things that could possibly be wrong with them. Veteran Care Solutions is just what it is. It is a solution. They go about the business of helping other organizations understand what scholarships, what grants, and how to work with Veterans Administration in being able to help a veteran. You can contact Veteran Care Solutions because it is run by LaShonda Jones, and you can call area code 909-329-8288, and she'll be glad to assist you. If you have or you know a veteran that needs some assistance, they will either provide the assistance or get him to the help that they need. The second organization, which is on my list, which I just kind of love the tongue wagging that it does because it takes you around and around, but it's so pertinent because we all get there every now and then. It's called I'm Sick and Tired of Being Sick and Tired. This organization is run by Kathy Braxton, and they're located at 290 East D Street in Colton, California. Primarily what they do is assist those that are indigent and need a little food or prayer. And they are sometimes, when they're there, they sometimes actually really do something really nice. They'll cook a hot dog or a hamburger and they give it away. If you're in that area or if you'd like to get information on how you might be able to receive some help, please call Kathy Braxton at area code 562-313-0041. Again, the name of the organization is Sick and Tired of Being Sick and Tired. The next organization I'd like to talk about is called Sowing Seeds for Life. Sowing Seeds for Life is one of the organizations that I am also on the board as a director. And Sowing Seeds for Life is located at 1350 Arrow Highway in Laverne, California. Primarily what Sowing Seeds for Life does is we are the second largest food bank in Southern California. Currently, we are probably serving actually over 40,000 families. You can reach us on our phone number if you perhaps would like to volunteer or to donate something. Please call area code 909-293-7735, extension 232, and ask for Fran Robbins, and they'll get you assisted with what it is that you can do, or if you have a need, please come out to our site, and we're there handing out food, clothes, shoes, whatever it is that we have on the first and the third Wednesday of every month. In addition to that, the next organization I'd like to talk about is called Coley's Outreach. Coley's Outreach is located in Highland, California. Primarily, what Coley's Outreach does is run by Mr. Keith Coley, and their primary objective is to help those that have been incarcerated or those that have had something going on with the court, and to reiterate those people back into society by helping them find a job, helping them have a place to stay, because if they don't have a place to stay, then they can't come out. And his primary focus is to not do what we call flesh warehousing. That means keeping people just to make money. That's not the business that we're in, and it's not the business that Keith Coley is in. He's there to help. And if you need to consult or you need a little direction into where you can go, please call Keith Coley. He's also open to any donations or any help that you might be able to give him by donating a car or something that you have to help these individuals. And you can call him again at this particular number, 909-358-7391. One more time, 909-358-7391. 7391. The next organization I'd like to talk about is called Bright Prospect. Bright Prospect is located at 1460 East Hope Boulevard, suite number 63 in Pomona, California. At Bright Prospect, you can reach them by calling area code 909-623-9007. Their primary interest is to help low-income students and find a way for them to get through college. You can see what all they do by going to www.brightprospect.org. And we're going to go with one more before we close out, and that is Camp Corral. Camp Corral is a free summer camp for military children with priority given to a wounded, disabled, or fallen military family. You can look at their website and see what all it is that they do to help reiterate these people back into society at, by looking at www.campcorral.org or calling area code 855-605-1267. At the end of every show, I always speak my own mind, and for this evening, it kind of goes like this. We are pro-poor, interacting with the poor in a way that provides choice and dignity. I have a simple belief, and that belief is in fishing rods rather than fish, and also implementing sustainable environmental practices, because my belief is that if we do this, that we change behaviors that contribute to poverty. I am Selena A. Lindsay, and I thank you for listening to our broadcast tonight and look forward to you being with us again at our next broadcast. Have a great and blessed evening.
Thank you. We're on every Monday, same time, 8 p.m. Pacific time. And that number, 858-769-4936, press 1. And you can give a suggestion, ask a question, or just join in the conversation. Good night.
Good night, all.